FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that corner stop?
Right here. You'll take the corner stop.
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 297, recorded August 12th, 2018. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Christian Rustle.
Hello.
Lucas Bockelman.
How's it going?
And Anna Pope.
Hey, good evening, or day.
Yeah, this will probably be broadcast next Saturday at 2 p.m., so the viewers are watching it next Saturday for us. The reason we're doing a pre-record is we have a scheduled Transformers meetup here in Kentucky on the 18th, which is when this will air, and I will be attending that, so I would not be available to do a broadcast, so we are pre-recording this episode. If you have any comments or questions, as always, feel free to post them on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP, or you can tweet your comments or questions and follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Always happy to hear from our fans and everything. It's always good to read comments and see people say things that, you know, that we were, or either reiterate things that we were talking about on the show or come back and say, I don't feel that way at all. Here's how I feel. And you know, it's great to see that and comment on that, in person as well. So we love to see your comments and check that, those places out. Tonight, our topic, if you can see up there at the top of the screen, right next to our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP, you can see the name of the episode is Masters of the Universe. And while you can think that we're going to be talking about He-Man and Skeletor, no, we're not. Unfortunately not. Tonight's episode, we'll be talking about the Universe Lines 1.0 and 2.0. Some great stuff that was released in those lines. And we'll be talking about that momentarily. But first, we're going to talk about Ouch My Wallet, and it'll be the first time for Lucas and Anna to do an Ouch My Wallet here on the show since they're the new guys. And I think I'll start with Lucas first, since you're in the top left. What made your wallet say ouch within the last week or so?
Okay, well, for me, TF Expo was just last weekend, and so I picked up a fair amount of stuff from that. Luckily, I sold a lot of stuff, so I still, you know, made some money from the weekend, but got some goodies here. So first off, I got some art from Casey Collier. So he did a print specific for TF Expo, and I was able to get that. I don't know if I can get the whole thing in frame. With Greg Berger and Paul Eiding and Casey all on the print. So this is nice. Perceptor and Grimlock for that. And then he was also selling off pages from Lost Light number 20. And so I couldn't resist. And so I got one of those pages as well. So
before it went to the, well, it's, it, was digitally colored, so that's like a master print, I guess.
Right. Yep. 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 So, yeah, and I was actually talking to Casey about that, and he still likes to do all of his art manually and then scan it and upload it for them to color it.
Yeah, it's so. Kind of like I've got three of the BotCon box art that you see on, the card art that was on the little bio cards that come with the BotCon figures. I have, what's his name? Crap.
Eric Metal Hawk and DevCon.
Yeah.
Who you have.
Yes. I can never remember DevCon. I keep thinking,
I gotta remember my whole collection. I gotta remember your whole collection.
Yeah. Well, I keep thinking Dion. I don't know why, but yeah.
Oh, no, you got DevCon.
Yeah, but it's DevCon and Shattered Glass Magnus and Ferric. And it was Jake Eisenberg that did the line art for those. Well, I think it was, who was it that did the actual art? And then
Dan Connor?
Yeah, Dan Connor. Yeah, he did the actual art, and then Jake Eisenberg did the outline. And then, of course, they scan it in and color it digitally, and that's how it gets put on the packages. So I bought the actual original line art, and they're actual poster size. So that's really cool, and I didn't know they did full comic book pages like that, too.
Yep. So, yeah, I've just started, and I'm kind of worried. I'm probably going to kind of go down that rabbit hole, especially with TFCon coming up. So, we'll have to see on that. But then I also got – we had some really cool dealers at the show. And so I got some G2 goodies. So I got Snarl and Slag on card here.
Have they been opened or are they still sealed?
They have been opened, but they are in near mint condition for the figures themselves and have their original cards. And then I got and honestly, I don't even know what this is. it's like a knockoff of the blaster. Of that mold, and I don't know if it's Diaclone or a knockoff.
Isn't that dude named like Radio AM Robot or something?
Yeah, it's like an actual. There's a an actual Mexico? Radio in there. Yeah, I have no idea, but I thought it looked cool, so I picked that up as well. So
everybody at the show was talking about it. Like, what the heck is that thing?
It's like, yeah, it looks horrible. I want it.
Exactly. He was released in Argentina by Commando Toys. It was available in two different color schemes. Which one did you have?
It has a date stamp, 1985 USA on it. So
what colors are is it exactly? It's gray and
it's
dark
like
red.
Red and gray.
Oh, then it's not this. Oh, wait. Blue and gray, dark green and red, blue, baby blue, blue and gray? I don't know. That's not what
I don't know. So, I was going to say, if any of the viewers know what it is, please comment.
I thought I do. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah.
It looks like in radio mode, though.
Well, it's interesting looking. Toy for a knockoff. I mean,
interesting.
So that was my haul.
Yeah, it's the AM robot. Looking it up here on the. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Looking at that first picture.
Uh huh.
I don't look like green though.
I think it's blue, gray, and red.
It's definitely not. And he had another one that was gray and blue. So yeah.
That's what it is.
All right. did you have more that you picked up, or
No, that was my haul.
All righty. Anna, how about you?
Sure, I can go next. So I also was at TF Expo, and I also got a lot of things. Technically, I only paid real paper money for one item, and because I did a lot of trading, so therefore I paid, you know, plastic robot money for most things.
Nice.
But that's I did finally get my Masterpiece Art Fire, which is a cool thing to have gotten for me because I've been wanting him for a while. In fact, the person selling him had the same exact one for sale last year, and I kept oogling it, and I resisted the entire show, and then I went back and bought it at the very last minute this time.
It's like, you are not getting away from me this time.
Yeah. I made enough money this time. I was comfortable doing it. But then I also traded for a ton of stuff for which this guy will be the representative. I know he's a little old, but the
Sigma
Fans Project Sigma, yeah, he's here. And I really like this figure, so I'm glad that I traded for it. I also traded for a bunch of animated because for some reason I've decided to collect animated, like, how many years later is it? Like 15 at this point? Too late to collect it?
It's 10.
I'm sorry.
But you have not made a choice. Anime is amazing.
Yeah, so I got a lot of that as well. Only all through trades, so that wasn't actual money. I'm going to share probably the dumbest purchase I made because I have this fascination with Rock Lords.
Oh, God.
And a guy who knew that I'm fascinated with Rock Lords brought in some of these little things, these little gnarlies. And gosh, when he brought it to me, I was just like, I'm not giving you any money for the little fuzzy thing. And then he showed me the little action feature where it pulsates. Oh. And then I handed him money.
Shut up and take my money.
Pretty I'm much. I was like, so oh wow, this is
the only ridiculous. Rock Lord I ever owned was Nugget.
He's a good one. Cool. Like one of the three good ones.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a Rock Lord just to say I have one. And maybe the Gym Lords, they're pretty cool.
My office, I have like 15 or so of them set up on a shelf so that I can share that I'm very unusual.
That's what I want to do. I want to take it to the office and be like, look, this transforms into a rock.
There's actually a pretty good Twitter account called like Rock Lords Rock, I think, or something. Yeah, they actually feature Rock Lords on there too.
And they're powerful living rocks, man.
Yeah. Powerful give them living rocks.
That's their tagline.
I know. Rock I remember rocks. Them when they were new.
I bought their movie on VHS on eBay when I was a child and watched it. It was amazing.
Yeah, the Nugget that I got was like, I got it like 15 years ago on eBay whenever I became an adult collector. I'm like, I remember Rock Lords, and I was going to go for the only one that I wanted as a kid, and that was Nugget. And I got him, and yeah, he was just a little gold Nugget that turned into a derpy-looking little robot. I'm like, okay.
That's a good way to go. Yeah. I even have one of the vehicles. I have both of the dinosaurs. It's getting bad.
Wow.
Next thing you know, I'm going to go find that combiner, which is not
there's a Rock Lord combiner?
There is. There
what?
Is.
I didn't know that. Cool. Should definitely do that. I fully support this.
I
want to get the one from, it wasn't a Rock Lord, I don't think, but the Japanese version of it was, its name was Devil Satan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. The monstrous, I think, was it? Was his name?
Yeah, monstrous was a U.S. name, but in Japan it was Devil Satan.
Devil Satan, perfect.
I mean, Japan can totally get away with names that we would never get away with over here. Like Squeeze Play in Japan was Cancer.
Yep.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly here. And then
it was a crab.
Yeah, Bomb Burst was Blood.
Blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hellbat. Kill Bison.
Yeah.
Death Cobra.
Oh, that's a really good name.
Hellbat.
What, Kill Bison?
No, I like Hellbat myself.
Oh, Hellbat, yeah. He's called Fellbat over here now.
Yeah,
which you know.
Mine is called Hellbat.
It's close. It was close enough for Hasbro work. I was pretty impressed.
I was impressed, too, that they got that close to what it actually was, you know?
Yeah. I was all right with that.
Yeah. Do you have any more, Anna?
You know, I actually picked up way too much. I got a Rodimus Unicronus and a broadside I didn't have, but they're over. I think they're over now. I can't figure out how to angle this thing. You see them kind of. There's boxes over there. They're over there. I swear. They're still not open because it's only been a week and I haven't got to all of them yet. I have to do it one at a time.
I know about a month ago, I picked up several items that came in at Captured Prey, and then there was a couple things that Orson had brought back from TFCon in Canada that I had him buy for me in proxy. He got me like the Remix tapes and which was the exclusives up there, and then he brought me back, like Christian said, the test shot, or not the test shot, but the production sample of Fans Hobbies Grotusk. I don't remember. Oh, Flypro.
Flypro.
Flypro was what it was called. So he brought those back to me, and then Christian picked up Black Zarek for me, the little legend scale Black Zarek. So I had like a whole big box of stuff to open up, and I stretched it out over several days. That was fun. I don't get to do that very often. Usually it's like one toy and open it up and it's like, no more joy. So Christian, what about, what made your wallet say ouch recently?
Nothing this week, thank goodness.
Besides display cases that didn't arrive or arrived incorrectly.
They're here. They're here. I guess I could show you, since we're talking about, opening stuff. I bought a new shelf to hold all the stuff I haven't opened yet. Because I like to take my time, and
you haven't even opened Predaking yet.
No, Predaking's sitting right there. I was going to open them tonight, actually, but then someone asked me to be on a podcast with them.
Well,
so, yeah, there's my.
Well,
new
we
shelf.
Won't be on that long.
Yeah, we'll do a live unboxing, right?
I could.
Yeah. Just be forewarned that it takes about an hour and a half to put all the stickers on. Dive Bomb is a nightmare because all the gold on his wings is all stickers that you have to apply.
You know, I'm not even sure I'm going to do stickers for him. I might just get the Reaper labels and be done with it because I still haven't put stickers on Trypticon from last year. I just don't like Hasbro stickers.
Yeah, they are still the gold or the foil stickers. And while they look nice whenever you put them on a figure, they are a pain in the ass because they love to curl.
Yeah, I'm not about that life, so I'll probably just wait.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a choice, the only stickers that I was going to apply was the Dive Bond stickers, because whenever I had Predaking assembled, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to put any stickers on him. Then I got to looking at him, I'm like, those wings look naked. So I had to put the gold on there.
Well, if you guys need a shelf for your storage needs, I highly recommend this one. It was really easy to go together. It's all metal. I don't know. I like it. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's woo.
I get it. It's a joke.
No.
It's metal!
Go get it. The end.
The end. Well, the only thing that made my wallet say ouch this week, you know, kind of keeping with Anna's Mind Wipe theme, I picked up the Fans Toys FT-23 Dracula, a.k.a. Mind Wipe, Masterpiece Mind Wipe, and I am very impressed with this guy. He's super awesome. A lot more involved than I expected him to be, because, you know, you wouldn't expect his transformation to be that complex. But, and I'm not saying it's so complex that it's a hassle. It's just a little more complex than I expected it to be. But yeah, I love that wingspan's quite impressive too. But I have to say, putting him on the display case, the Ape Face and Snapdragon that stands behind him, I had to put them on a riser because they couldn't see over his wings. But he looks really impressive standing next to Weird Wolf and Ape Face and Snapdragon. And I'll eagerly eagerly await the Skull Cruncher whenever they finally get it out. And then who knows, we might get a Scorponok. Well, I mean, there was a Scorponok release that was that
Make Toys,
Pandanus. Make Toys. Yeah, Pandanus. I almost got one, and then I got to thinking, I'm like, that thing is, I just, because it is massive. It is truly massive. Orson had the production sample of the Black Zarek version of it in at one time, and I was like, that thing would not even fit in any of my display cases. He would have to be displayed outside of one. And it's not necessarily for the height, it's his bulk. He's just really bulky. So, yeah, I passed on him. I tried to trade for one a couple years ago at BotCon, or might have been TFCon, but didn't work out. So,
yeah, I actually got my Pandanus from Orson. Captured Prey had a sale, I think a couple years ago for like Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked him up. He is such a great figure, but you're right. He's like a 20-inch cube.
Mm-hmm.
It takes up a fair amount of display space.
And
you actually still have him, right?
I do. Yeah, he is one of the ones I still have. So I do a lot of buying and selling of my figures. So, but I
can't
get
rid of them. And I often buy them.
He is a great one, though. I mean, like I said, he's the ratchety joints on him and everything. I was really impressed with it. But like I said, at the time, the apartment that I was living in, I could have displayed him out. You know, I would just had to dust him a little more often. But after this move, I would have had nowhere to put him. Absolutely nowhere to put him. I mean, it's hard enough displaying Trypticon in a display case. He's literally standing upright and looks like he's like roaring at the sky just to fit in the display case.
Well, you know, that's one of the issues now, I feel like, with a lot of these Masterpiece Combiners or, you know, Terminus Giganticus and whatnot, is each one of these takes up like half a DTOF. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're going to get all the Combiners, where do you put them all?
I've got one display case. I've got five Combiners on one shelf, and that includes Devastator and Predaking. But, yeah. Yeah.
How? You'll have to show me that later.
It's got to be a big shelf.
Yeah. Well, I'll post it in the live group here after the show. But yeah, it's a bigger display case I got late last year, and I had to remove a shelf, obviously, because it like the DTOFs have a fixed shelf. I'm at a loss for words, and it has fixed shelving.
Shelf arrangement.
Yeah. And I don't like the hooks sticking out, but, you know, they don't get in the way that much. But, yeah, I just double up on the floor that they're standing on because, you know, you don't want all that weight because you figure,
right.
You know, I mean, it's like the shelf I have Terminus Giganticus on is doubled because he weighs 11 pounds by himself.
Good Lord.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a heavy mofo.
I've seen a couple collectors that have had that issue where they didn't reinforce their shelves and they had all their Combiners and then it ended up coming crashing down after a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have glass display cases, you gotta be mindful of how much the toys weigh. At one time, I had one of my DTOF shelves. I had all my Fans Toys Dinobots in robot form. They will fit on one DTOF. You know, you have to use some risers, and they're crammed in there. But I had them in there, and then I got to thinking, I'm like, that's a lot of weight on that one shelf. So yeah, I took them out and split them up there. I mean, they're on side by side shelves, but. Yeah, I mean, each of the Fans Toys Dinobots, I'm wanting to say, weighs close to 2.5-3 pounds by themselves.
I can't believe that. Those things are massive.
There are a lot of die-cast in them. So. And I think Sludge is probably the heaviest. Because, I mean, he's a lot of plastic. He's, like, that long in Dino Mode.
Yeah, him or Grinder.
Yeah, Grinder's got a lot of die-cast. Then... last week, my only acquisition, which I paid for a while back, but I actually got it in last week was the X-Transbots Crack Up, which is their version of Breakdown. I had him in robot form earlier today, and then I transformed him back to car, so I didn't plan on putting him on the show, but there he is. I tell you what, he's probably about the best $35 I've ever spent on a Masterpiece size figure. He is every bit of it. He doesn't feel cheap at all. Not an easy, but yet it's still a relatively intuitive transformation. My only gripe is that in car mode, if you don't line something up just right, the wheels don't touch right here, because this right here is essentially the bottom of his chest or inside of his chest, and it unfolds and yeah. I don't think I have something lined up there. I just need to figure that out. But he's still really awesome and a very animation accurate, in my opinion, version of Breakdown in robot form.
Yeah, I decided to go with that team partly because of what you just said about the animation accurate enough. Because yeah. I think it does a good job at what the first round of Masterpieces did at merging the cartoon look with a real-world vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of Masterpiece that I like, not the really animation accurate that we get now.
I like a nice blend. I don't want them to be straight-up animation, but I don't want them to be straight-up toy accurate or anything like that. I want them to look enough like the cartoon in robot form that you're like, you easily recognize it. It has design cues from the animation, but it doesn't look exactly like the animation. I want it to look like a good meld between the two.
Like, I'm a big fan of Wheeljack and Sideswipe, but Inferno is my nightmare.
Yeah.
Your nightmare?
I had that toy for a total of like 48 hours before I sold it. I could not stand how it just was so plain and undetailed and just blocks of red.
He's the mold isn't bad. The mold is pretty ingenious. I've got
Grapple looks okay.
Yeah. This version looks good.
Yeah, Grapple. Mm-hmm. But Inferno specifically was really bad.
And I totally agree with you, because I stuck with Make Toys Hellfire as my Masterpiece Inferno.
I have one on my shelf that I haven't opened yet.
I actually went back. I sold my Make Toys, bought the MP, sold the MP, went back to Make Toys.
I think you made a good choice. He is really good. Go ahead, Ann.
I was just going to say, I have the Ocular Max one myself, and I think that it's basically my favorite Transformer ever. And even though I like Artfire because he's new, he's just not as good to me.
I have the Ocular Max Artfire, and he's really great too.
Yes, I bet. I kind of wanted that one, but I thought the Target Master looked kind of...
But there are two of them.
That is a plus. That is a plus. But this thing's Target Master is fantastic.
Cool. I don't think I've seen anything
really
about
like it.
What makes it really cool is whenever you can take Artfire and put it with... Bounce Back.
Bounce Back.
Yeah,
Bounce Back, yeah.
So we gotta get that one now.
Whenever you have Artfire and Stepper on a display case in a Masterpiece form, it's like the love. And then standing right behind them is Point Blank. So.
And I wasn't gonna say anything, but that Bounce Back looks really nice in person.
Yeah, pretty great.
More Target Masters for me to have to get.
Well, then you also will probably want X-Transbots Elegos and X-Transbots Andross, because they also come with their Target Masters.
Yeah, that's one reason. That's the only reason I would get them, though. I try not to get them just for the Target Masters, like I did with Hot Rod.
Yeah.
I got the Target Master version just for his Target Master that isn't even that good.
But I love the Elegos, which is their Cyclonus, because he comes with the alternate face. It's got the soul patch. I'm like, yeah, that works.
That's legit.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've done our Ouch My Wallet enough for this week. Let's move on into our main topic of discussion, which is the Universe lines. Universe 1.0, and we'll try to get to 2.0 time allotted, but we're going to be talking about Universe, and I know that there is a lot of people out there, what Universe, you know, because disambiguation, there is a video game called Transformers Universe, but we're going to be talking about the toy line, and yes, Christian was
this
holding
up this toy line.
Yes, that is probably my favorite color out of the Optimus Primal mold. Everybody
it looks good in person.
Yeah, I think everybody was used to call it back in the day Rodimus Primal, because he has kind of like the Rodimus Prime color scheme almost.
I could see it. This dude's legit. I love him a lot.
Yeah, and in Soviet Russia, he loves you too.
Well.
Yakov Smirnoff, you're too young for that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, the Transformers Universe line, and I'm in full disclosure, I'm cheating off of TF Wiki here, because you know they got a lot of great info on here. But the Transformers Universe line, it launched in 2003, and the first wave. Or the first few waves, actually, were a lot of Beast Wars, or Beast Wars medals repaints, and a lot of, and I guess original Beast Wars, a lot of Beast Machines repaints. I'm going to do a little screen share here. Got some, let me see if I can pull that up there. Yeah. It is not moving. There.
Is this the part where we ooh and ah?
Yes, it's the part where you ooh and ah. All right. It's kind of, I didn't have it fully on screen there, and it was cutting part of it off. But yeah, I'm showing, I'm going to be doing a slideshow of some of them. I've got the first few waves of the Universe line. We'll be talking a little bit about them, a little bit about the background. Essentially, Universe was intended as a filler line because in 2003, you already had, what was it? It was on the shelves then. I think it was Energon. And
not yet.
Was it Armada? Was it?
Yeah.
So I guess it was Armada and then later Energon, because Walmart at one time was wanting some Armada repaints to be in, or for the Universe line to be in Energon packaging, from what I understand. I don't think that actually came to be. There were still some that came out in Universe packaging. But there was actually three lines on the shelf at one time, and I believe it was one of the first times I'd actually seen three different Transformer lines, very different Transformers lines on the shelf at the same time. And to me, I found it a little bit confusing for some people. But as a personal collector, I loved it because there was a lot of product. You had the Armada, well, the beginning of the Universe trilogy, you had Transformers Universe, and you had Transformers Alternators all on the shelf at the same time. I believe Alternators didn't last much longer. I think it lasted about as long as Universe 1.0, did it not?
Well,
I think Alternators was 4 years, wasn't it?
Well, the very first Universe 1.0 didn't last that long, I don't think. Universe 2.0
It followed on from Robots in Disguise.
Yeah.
And filled the gap between Robots in Disguise and Armada and kept going through Energon. And the last releases came out in 06.
Leaf.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, so the second Universe line launched in 2008. Yeah. So I guess it did last a little bit longer. And it should be noted that OTFCC 03 and 04, those, I believe, were packaged in Universe packaging. The exclusives for those. And that was like Shadow Striker and Roulette, which were redecos of Sideburn, and then you had the Sideswipe and Sunstreaker, which was redecos of Red Alert, RID Prowl,
Mach Alert.
Mm-hmm. And then In 2004, you had Megazaric, which was actually a redeco of Armada Megatron or Galvatron, whichever way you want to look at it. And Sentinel Maximus, which actually got mailed out later, but it was a redeco of, was it Energon Ultra Magnus?
Armada Overlord.
Yeah, that's right. I get them all mixed up. It's been 15 years, so almost 10, 15 years.
That's what you had me for.
Yes, because that was like your G1 era, wasn't it?
It was. It was.
So we'll defer to the expert.
I was there.
Well, I was too. I'm just old now.
Well, my childlike mind drunk it all in, so I'm ready.
But yeah, it started off in Wave 1 Deluxes. There was actually some tiny tins of some mini-cons that was released first. You know, I think Dirt Boss, which actually the Skyboom Shield in its entirety was put in Universe packaging with a little tin collector's case.
Tiny tins were dope.
Yeah. But I'm going to be showing some of the deluxes here. We got Reptilion, and Silverbolt. Let's scroll down here. Yeah, Wave 1, and it was from 2003. You had Reptilion, Silverbolt, and Snarl. Wave 2 in 2003 was Black Arachnia and Dinobot Striker, which that Dinobot Striker, I have to say the Universe had some of the best decos on some of these toys. I think in some aspects it outshines the previous decos.
And that was a good mold anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Cool guy.
And if I'm not mistaken, the actual Beast Machines release of Striker had gold plastic on it.
It does.
Suffers from GPS.
Yep, it's a grand old time.
Yeah, but I don't think Dinobot Striker from Universe has that, does it?
Nope. He's fine.
Just gold paint on him?
It's not even gold paint. This plastic is kind of like beigey. My light's making it look gold.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the picture here in the robot form, and it does look rather goldish, but it probably gold paint over like white plastic or something, or gray plastic.
I'd be mildly worried about these plates being brown plastic, but it seems to be okay so far.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, without just droning on here, I'm going to put it out. What are your guys' thoughts on Universe, and what do you remember about them? I'm going to start with the youngin, since that was his G1 era.
Yay. All right. Well, Universe was super cool because it encapsulated every other line that had ever come before it.
Including Generation 1. Just like
Robots in Disguise did prior. In fact, I'm a big fan of the Robots in Disguise-y, Universe-y, Armada-y Dinobots that came out at Walmart. A couple two-packs there. They were just called Dinobots. What line do they fit in? Who knows? But neat.
I said they were neat.
They were neat. I've got them right here next to me, but I don't want to dig in the box anymore. But Universe was cool because it had, what, three price points, Duran? If
you're looking. I think it had, well, let's see, it had, the Wave Ultra 1 was, Wave 1 was the mini cons. Then you had Deluxes, Ultras, and then Exclusives.
Oh, so two price points then.
Yeah.
So for me,
that was before Wave 2.0, which some of them were rebranded.
Yes. So you had the $10 ones and you had the $20 ones. And the $20 ones, you could get stuff like Nemesis Prime or King Atlas. Or if you wanted to get something different, you could get stuff like Whirl, which was made from Machine Wars Sandstorm. But to make up the value, it included a bunch of mini-cons. And as a mini-con collector, because I was around for Armada stuff in my childhood, I wanted all of the mini-cons. But the variety and the paint schemes...
Ironically, what? Today, if they were to do the same toy in Universe line, it would be minus the mini-cons and probably wouldn't have his missiles.
Correct. But I like the variety you could have on shelves, because in the deluxe price point, you could go buy a repaint of a Beast Wars or Beast Machines toy, but you could also get a pack of two cyber jets, and that was your deluxe. And I think that was unique to Universe. It was just It was very diverse. It almost felt like a line-wide BotCon set with how premium the paint jobs were and what characters they chose. And yeah, it was great. I loved
and
it.
A lot of good value in the line, too.
Yeah, great
because,
value.
Like you said, you know, the two-packs, the multi-packs with the mini-cons, there was quite a few of those. But I didn't mean to cut you off. I just
trying to I was done.
Okay. Lucas, what about you?
So I was not in the Transformers at the time. I was taking a break, but I have went back and collected a lot of those little guys. So I've got a few of the deluxes here. You know, it's really cool just kind of looking back how they, you know, were able to pull a lot of historical figures, you know, from previous lines and whatnot, and kind of, you know, redo them and whatnot into one line. I was not collecting at the time. So
you don't remember, they weren't on your radar at all because Transformers wasn't right on your radar.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I was in college at the time and was not, into Transformers at the time, but, when we go back to Universe 2.0, we can. That's when I started getting back into it, so I can talk a lot more about that.
Okay. Anna, what about you?
So as far as that line goes, I was kind of in Lucas's same position. I was also in college at the time. I wasn't really collecting too much. Just every once in a while, I bought something. You know, I was at the point where I would go. Well, I went to department stores for fun in college because I went to college in a small town, and I would go and look at all the Transformers, get agitated that they were figures that I had already collected, and sit there and really wonder why anyone would ever want to buy a repaint of this thing because, you know, I have the original and I still hate it, so I don't know why
anyone
would buy them.
Yeah.
So that was mostly my relationship with that line, but I did notice, just like you were saying, that there was a lot of really good value packs. Like you could buy a whole lot of mini cons for a decent price. And like, I remember seeing the Kmart sets get clearance more and more and keep being tempted to buy them because I was like, ooh, I get all those mini cons that I already have and already don't have displayed or use at all. Cause I just really didn't like the Armada trilogy. I'm sorry to poop on your childhood, but.
That's more Sergio's childhood. Mine's Beast Wars, so I'm good.
Okay, good. So I didn't poop on anyone here's childhood, which is good enough. But I did go back and get, it's on the other side of the room now because I relocated for lighting. But I did go back and get Crystal Widow at least because that was one mold that I actually liked enough from Beast Machines that I actually wanted two of. Most of the molds that I have from Beast Machines I want zero of, but that one I feel a little bit differently. And I will say that out of the two Black Arachnias, she's definitely the better looking one of the two. Like the recolor is just, it looks nicer. It's more fun looking
and it's
better done. So I definitely agree with everything you said about it being a good value, good paint jobs. I just didn't like the base figures that were used.
Well, initially, you know, they went with a lot of Beast Wars and Beast Machines redecos. But eventually, you know, in later waves, you know, there were other toy lines like, in the Ultra Wave 2.5, you had King Atlas, which was a late Generation 1 mold, which was, I think, what was
Skyquake.
It? Skyquake, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, my brain is slow. You got it?
I'm on it. That's why
yes.
I'm here.
And I'm even drinking caffeine. It's still not helping.
So. You got to get better.
Yeah. But I remember, from what my recollection back in the day and a lot of the people that I talked to on the forums, initially Universe was met with, oh my God, what is this crap? Why are they taking these characters and putting the most God awful paint schemes on them? But if you really think about it through
Purple Monkey, why?
But it works.
He's got the bit of the first wave guys had these like Energon burns or scars. See, Primal has it here, and Striker has it here. That was like a theme throughout the line.
Yeah. That sounds really similar to a certain Generation 2 that I remember people complaining about when it first came out.
The eyesore.
Garish paint schemes. Yeah.
And now we release them as special collector sets because we like them because they're goofy.
Well, and that's what I was actually going to get to here in a moment is because
Masterpiece Universe Primal, please.
Yes, I would actually rebuy Masterpiece Primal if they did him in those colors. Either that or Burning Convoy. I would want that. Burning Convoy was the all clear red plastic.
That's Skeleton Convoy. Burning was
no red. Skeleton was all clear.
Yeah, that's what you said.
No, all clear red.
Oh,
Burning
Convoy. Might be.
Yes, but because there was an all clear one, which was skeleton type, which I actually owned one of those,
and then now I own it.
Yes, and then the Burning was an all clear. It might have been. No, it was all clear red.
It's all clear.
Yeah. It's all good. Yeah.
It's all good.
But if you look at the overall color schemes throughout the Universe line, they kind of work together. They're a lot of the dark muted colors with highlights of bright colors with yellows and purples and reds and stuff. And a lot of them have, for example, like the Depth Charge has like a camo type look to them. So that's
my favorite releases from the line.
Yeah, throughout Universe 1.0, there was kind of a motif that was going on with those darker colors with bright highlights.
Do you know why?
I do not know why.
Oh, it's a fictional thing. The underlying fiction behind Universe is that Unicron, after getting beaten in Armada, was so weak that he was pulling Transformers from various realities to fight each other on his surface so that he could absorb their spark energy when they died. So they were becoming corrupted. So all this scarring and stuff is Unicron corruption. That's the whole deal. So they were being corrupted and made darker by Unicron.
That's nice when repaints have stories.
Yeah. That was their whole deal. It got told not on packaging, because I think that was the first line, at least the first line I remember, that didn't have on-package bios, which I really missed. But their stories got told through the BotCon comics or OTFCC comics during that time.
And then later on, though, as years passed on and people started picking these up, it's like, okay, you know, that's a really good deco. That's a really good deco. Initially, people thought it was ugly, and some people still do. I'll be honest. Some people still think they're ugly. But there are some really nice decos on there throughout the line. And now, I guess, if in retrospect, if you could look at it, it's almost like a Generation 2 color or Generation 2 version of some of these toys. You know, Generation 2 Beast Wars, Generation 2 Beast Machines, if you could call it that. And it's kind of interesting that it is basically a redux of earlier toy lines. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, throughout all of the Universe lines, both 1.0 and 2.0, there was only one unique mold that was released. Oh, wait a minute, Christian, before you show it. I know you're just going to show it off. I'm going to see if the listeners can guess what the one unique mold was, and don't you go Googling it, but what was the one unique mold that was released in Universe that had not been previously re-released, or released, rather? Now, there were some that were planned.
Not released in the States.
Yes. There were some that were planned that were going to be original molds came out in Universe. But they were actually repackaged in, was it Energon?
Energon, yes. Correct.
And that was the Grimlock and Swoop 2-pack.
Mega Dinobots. Yes,
the Mega Dinobots that actually the Grimlock and Swoop combined. But those were originally intended for the Universe line. But because of, I think it was Walmart that requested them to be packaged for Energon.
Plus they were doing combiners in Energon at the time, so it made sense for another combiner to head over there.
Yeah. But those were originally for the Universe line, and that would have made the count three for original molds in the Universe line. But there was only one. And if you haven't guessed it yet, Christian is going to show it off. Yes. And that is, who be Christian?
It's Swerve, the Aveo.
A Veil Swerve. And the only way you could get that sumbitch was how?
Go to a place where Chevy was having an event, test drive an Aveo, or maybe order it from their European store and maybe get it, maybe.
Yeah. He was not exactly easy to get a hold of at first.
No, he was not.
Matter of fact, I saw some on the aftermarket, several years later, and they weren't that expensive, but it was actually kind of hard to get a hold of, and it may be again now. I haven't really went looking for one lately. So what are your guys' comments so far?
Anybody? I didn't know about that thing. That's cool.
Yep. He was created for Chevy as like a thank you for their participation in the 07 movie. So he came along well after Universe had finished. But since Universe was a catch-all term for whatever kind of stuff Hasbro was releasing at the time, that's what he became.
And he was actually the final toy released under the Universe 1.0 banner. Yep. Even though he was released around the time, I guess 2.0 was getting ready to come out.
Yeah, him and all the Family Dollar General kind of releases too.
Yeah, they all came out under the Universe 1.0 banner. And then Universe 2.0, it changed away from an Armada type look to, I guess, more of a classic-y look, was it not?
Yep.
Yeah, so. Let's talk a little bit about some of the store exclusives, because, oh my God, there were some awesome ones in there. Kmart had the, like you said, the Crystal Widow and Oil Slick. I didn't care for Oil Slick. That was one of my most hated molds.
Why would you care for that thing?
Everyone
no one should care
mold.
For it.
I told Aaron Archer the last time he was, or one of the times he was on the show, it's like, I love virtually every toy that he created. It was, he had some great designs. But the Armada Sideswipe, I'm sorry, was not one of them. It's like it had great intentions, but it was not executed well. That was one god-awful looking robot. Car Mode was nice.
And the Minicom was okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we had another one. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I just said that was a good point.
Oh, yeah. And then we had another one. And this one actually has been homaged here recently within the last year or two. It is Toys R Us Ramjet. Basically the the Armada Ramjet mold or Skywarp mold in Ramjet colors, or essentially Ramjet colors. And then we got the retool of the Generations Starscream into the Skywarp. I think that came out in Japan. And then we got that version of that mold in the Transformers Collectors Club redecoed as Universe Ramjet.
Skywarp and Ramjet were both club toys.
Oh, were they?
Yep.
I thought it was a Japanese only one.
Thundercracker was Japanese only.
Okay. Let's see here. Walmart had Optimus Prime and Prowl. Prowl, Sideburn, and Ultra Magnus and Ironhide.
Well, if we want to talk about Walmart exclusives real quick, let's talk about Walmart's role in the cancellation of Universe 1.
All right.
At least as a widespread line. Because, you had the Family Dollar stuff, you had this guy, you had one last run of Target exclusives with this guy, Devastator. But Walmart got greedy kind of in the middle of it, and they wanted, like, a ton of exclusives all at the same time. So they had a Ruination repaint, all of those Autobot Brother repaints, several Spy Changers. I don't know. I think at one point they had about a dozen exclusives just for them on shelves at the same time. And it glutted them out.
Peg-warmed.
They peg-warmed hard.
I remember some local Walmarts around me at the time literally took more than a year to sell through a lot of that stock. I mean, you could go in there long after these had stopped being stocked. You could go in there long after that and find like the Prowl and the Ratchet and the Sideburn and all that. Inferno. They were just hanging there on the shelf, and you're like, God,
Forever. Yeah.
And they would not clearance them out, at least the ones around me.
Nope, they lasted forever.
Yeah. Then you had the Sunstorm with Inferno. Sam's Club had the Armada Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus, the Super Base, or was it the Super Base?
Overload, yeah.
Yeah, the Overload. Those were a Universe exclusive, and they kind of had
plus the RID ones, too.
Yeah, and they were like the yellow and the black colors and stuff. Those were really neat. And of course, KB Toys. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention
who?
Yeah, the now defunct KB Toys. They carried all the MicroMaster releases, which was the MicroMaster combiners. I don't think we had ever gotten those in the United States up until that point. They were the first releases of Generation 1 molds that had seen releases in Japan and Europe. But we had never seen them over here until Universe line. So here were more Generation 1 molds being used decades later in Universe.
We might have got them as a KO.
Did we?
True.
I have a KO 6-ween that I think I bought in early college, which would have been before. So I think we did actually get them as a knockoff before we got them as official figures.
But not as official, yeah.
Which is adorable.
Let's see here. That pretty much ended Universe 1.0 at that point. Lucas, do you have a comment?
Sorry, I was just coughing. Oh. Put myself on mute.
So it looked like you were trying to talk, and I'm like, I'll give you an opportunity there. But yeah, Universe 1.0, it pretty much ended, as Christian said, because Walmart was saying, all right, stop sending this stuff, stop producing this stuff. It's peg warming. And since Walmart had the clout, it was pretty much the largest outlet for Transformers at the time. Hasbro capitulated, and they stopped making Universe toys. But then there were some toys that came out rebranded in Universe 2.0 from 2005 to 2008. We had the Spy Changers, almost a good portion of them, if not all of the Spy Changers from RID that was released. And then you had some basics, deluxes, and then you had multi-packs, and of course there were some exclusives for those as well. What do you guys think about Universe 2.0 and know about it?
That's still Universe 1.0, bro.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not. I could have swore it was 2.0 here.
Universe 2.0 is like classics again.
Oh.
Yeah, they started putting in new molds.
I am really stupid then. Okay. Why didn't you interject?
I did.
No, you didn't. You went. Let me finish. I'm going to slap you.
Well, you're right, because I'm polite.
Yes. All right. So Universe 1.0 still continuing, but yeah, it was essentially
that's all the Family Dollar and stuff releases, the budget releases. So in that stuff, you had, like you said, Spy Changers, really cool. I got a whole batch of them. Stuff that was previously exclusive to KB Toys came out at Family Dollar, Dollar General. It was the Generation 1 repaints of Spy Changers, which were cool, and then half the line of the clear recolored Spy Changers. And then you also had stuff like the Energon basics, so you had like Strong Arm and RC, and the previously hard-to-find Energon combiner limbs like Terra Dive or Wide Load and whatever the shovel one was called, the brown shovel one. Anyway, those Oops, got kind of not released well in Energon, so they released them again at the $5 price point for places like Family Dollar.
All right.
That was cool.
So now let's move on to Universe 2.0. I've actually clicked the page here.
Yes, we move.
This is the one that started in 2008 under a Classics-esque a banner. Now... Lucas, you said you actually were coming back on board about this time.
Yeah, so around, I think it was 2006 or 2007 or so, is when Classics kind of came out. And I believe that was supposed to be a filler line. So the Transformers movie, I think, was 2007. And so I think that they were just, you know, like, okay, we need something on the shelf. Universe 1.0 is over. And so they kind of redid some of the original G1 figures and updated them and put them on the shelf. And that was really where, you know, I kind of went to Walmart and I was like, oh my gosh, what are these? Hey, these are what I remember from my childhood. And so I just, I love that entire classics line, collected the whole thing, you know, picked up every figure. And then Universe 2.0 is kind of the continuation of that because they
classics,
were like, oh,
classics continued essentially.
Yeah. And so that was kind of like, oh shoot. Like there's a, you know, big demand for these Generation 1 figures, you know, that people have. And so then they kind of continued that. And I know they released, I'm trying to think, look on the line here. But yeah, I mean, they were great. And I think a lot of collectors kind of viewed that this era as the kind of the golden age of Transformers, of the main line.
Because we never thought we'd get more G1 accurate or G1 inspired mainline stuff, you know, or mass retail stuff. Little did we know.
Yeah. Now we're how many years later and still going G1 mass retail?
12 but, years?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, though, that this was pretty much the continuation of classics. And we saw, you know, like the Seeker mold was starting to be used a lot in it. You know, we saw Acid Storm in Wave 2, which I've got a little funny story on that one. Yeah, it got used so much that they pretty much destroyed the mold. And they saw that mold as so viable that they made an entire new mold to continue running the classic Seeker mold. And I think both Rick Alvarez and Aaron Archer have confirmed that they remade that mold because they pretty much used it up. Well, if you think about it, though, through all the classics, Universe, the convention exclusives that they used it for, it got used to death.
I think it's something like how many 50 releases or something. 50. It's something ridiculous. I've got like 30 of them. That's not true. I've got like 20 of them.
So much less.
But, you know,
I've got a cool picture. I'll post in the group later of them. They're not up in my new apartment yet, but I used to hang them on the wall in formation.
That's cool.
It's pretty sweet. I'll show it to you.
Oh, neat. But, you know, a little funny story about Acid Storm. Around here, he was rather hard for me to find. And I was in a Rite Aid, I believe, one day, and you know how they just like randomly stick, you know, like two deluxes on the shelf and or on the pegs, and that's all they have. And they're priced at like $20. And I saw
$20 deluxes. Oh no.
Yeah. Well, at the time, you know, normally they were like $10-$12 anywhere else. And I found an Acid Storm there. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying $20 for a deluxe. It's no, that's ridiculous. I'll never pay $20 for a deluxe. and it stayed. I left it on the shelf, went back a week later and went ahead and bought it because I'm like, I'm tired of looking for this guy. I bought it. And then like 2 weeks later, I saw some at Walmart. Yeah. So yeah, I paid $20 for deluxe Acid Storm, which feel stupid now.
Hey, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, but now $20 is a norm for just about for
surprise.
And look what you can get for just a little bit more now. Makes you sick now, don't it?
Yeah, Studio Series Deluxes are $20, and Power of the Prize Voyagers are $22.50. Something fishy there.
Something is amiss here. It's getting to the point, and I'll be honest, it's a little side note as a collector. I'm thinking that mainline stuff is starting to price me out. I mean, it's getting bad enough with the Masterpiece, you know, increasingly, you know, Dinobots 225, Megatron's like 300 in some places, 305. I don't know. I can't do that for every single figure.
Does it make you long for the days of Universe 1.0 with two price points?
Yeah. Yeah.
$10, $20. That's it. That's all it was.
Yeah. And it was easy to have a impulse buy in those days.
Yeah.
And to me, Universe was a lot of it was impulse buys for me.
Even 2.0. I mean, I know I was really collecting classics a lot then, especially, you know, with stuff like Sunstreaker and Sideswipe. Those molds came out in Universe 2, and those changed the game completely for me. I mean, that was saying Hasbro was planning on making these characters for us again.
Absolutely. Lucas?
So I was going to say, the one thing about the price point is, so they have the new Cyberverse line coming out. I don't know if you guys have gotten any of these.
I'm passing on all of it.
I will not.
Yeah. I know they're for kids and all that, but man, they're just not good figures. And so the ones that are the warrior class figures, I mean, they're so hollow. They feel so cheap. They're not well made. There's no paint on them, or there's barely any paint. And so it's like, well, that's what $15 gets you now. And so for me, honestly, I'd rather pay the $20. Like this new Siege for Cybertron line that's coming out that actually has good paint, that they're trying to get some good articulation in it. I would rather pay the $20.
And good detail on them too. Molded detail.
I'd rather pay the $20 for a deluxe or $30 for a Voyager and have a figure that I'm not going to regret, because the Cyberverse stuff, I'm like, man, I wish I hadn't got it now. So.
Yeah. So what do you think about the fact that the last few lines in this one coming up have tried to include a sort of $6 impulse buy, you know, with Titan Masters and Prime Masters and all that kind of stuff? It's like there's something there for you to buy for $6 that's not utterly disappointing. You know, they're fun in their own ways. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like that's what they've given us as, like, you know, this is your impulse buy now. You can't impulse buy a basic. You can't impulse buy a deluxe. But if you're at the store and you've passed on Shuffler a few times and you see him, you're like, ooh, it's an elephant. I'm going to buy it. And you take it home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are those as effective? Like, are those as effective to keep us interested?
I think so. And I also think that the Micromasters that in Siege is going to be along that along those lines. They're going to be closer to the impulse buys and maybe packed as in a two pack, like and you know, around $10, like the legend size ones, you know, like Battle Trap and stuff like that. I think that's what they're doing. I don't know. I haven't seen them in package yet.
Yeah, I think Micromasters are probably going to be better impulse buys. But as far as, you know, Titan Masters and Prime Masters, I think if I were a casual collector, like someone who would have an impulse and not me deliberately trying to get them all, I wouldn't be impulse to buy those at all. I mean, they're essentially accessories for the larger figures. And if I didn't get any of those, I'd say, why the heck do I have a loose head here that I can't put in anything?
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing I will say is, for my kids, they love those figures more than they like the RID stuff and all that. And so they look at those little Titan Master figures as their figure, or the Power Masters as their figures. And they really got into, oh, this little Power Master gives them extra powers. It gives them different powers and all that. And so they've read all the tech specs and that. And honestly, I'd rather buy all those for the kids as impulse buys. And then every once in a while, we get a little, you know, say a blaster or sound wave or whatever, that they can kind of make a little mini city out of it. And then they can kind of drive their little Titan Masters around on those figures. And it's the perfect play pattern for them. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's the same awesome thing with the mini cons and all those little figures that I know they're going to just dig that. And so that's where, for me, is I wish that Hasbro would have, instead of doing the Cyberverse and all that, is just make this cartoon and then, you know, kind of feature some of those little figures for their kids to buy, or, you know, for my kids to buy. And, you know, we have a little mini city set up with all the figures.
Well, even to that point, you know, cool. if you buy nothing, buy your child nothing but, you know, the tiny figures, the impulse buy figures throughout the year, and then wait till Christmas time and buy them that one big toy. I think they really hit the mark last year with Trypticon, because Trypticon, you know, had the little pegs on it where you could put the Titan Masters all over him. Plus, he had the feature where he could eat the Titan Masters. Yeah, so, you know, that was like, plus, you know, he had all, like you said, all the little ramps and bells and whistles that you could, you know, have that play pattern with them. And granted, you know, Trypticon was anywhere between, depending where you got him, if you got him at Ollie's for $60 or paid $150 for him at, you know, at Capture Prey like I did. but.
Or both, like me.
Yeah. So. You know, it still gave the children a good play pattern. And like I said, you could get them the small ones throughout the year. And then at Christmas time, get them that one big toy that when they rip it open, they're like, oh, it's gigantic, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to retract my former statement now because of that. Lucas, your argument was way better than mine. So yeah, I think they're great at both sides now. Yeah.
But back to Universe, let's kind of wrap up Universe 2.0. Essentially, there were all the size classes at the time were represented. You had the Legends, Deluxe, Voyager, Ultra Class, and then you had the little robot heroes. And then you had a lot of exclusives under the Universe line 2.0. I'm not even going to bother listing them all. I mean, it's quite extensive.
I think we can list one of the most significant ones as the Walmart exclusive G1 Prime reissue that came with the
yes.
DVD of the first episode of the show.
Mm-hmm. 25th anniversary.
First episode of the comic. So you got everything that brought Transformers to be what it was in one convenient package. That was really cool.
Yes, absolutely. But Universe 2.0, it continued for how many years was it? It ran on as a mass. Well, so only a year. It launched in mid-2008.
It was gone by Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, so all of these releases got released within the span of a few months to a year.
It was quick.
Yeah. But a lot of them, you know, you could go to Walmart, and again, the shelves were packed full of them. Like I said, Acid Storm, you know, I looked and looked, they were coming out so quick, you know, you look and look and look, you don't find them, you finally see it, and you bite the bullet, and then, boom, you find it. I still kick myself to that day. I don't even have that toy anymore, and I'm still kicking myself for it.
I think we can give a lot of credit to that quickness to the 07 movie doing so well. Mm-hmm. I mean, even characters that weren't in that movie were flying off shelves. People were looking to buy anything Transformers that was there. Mm-hmm. And so this line did similarly.
Well, it could be argued that a lot of Hasbro's financial success because of Transformers and because of the popularity of the movies, or, mm-hmm. well, at that time, the movie, you know, the Universe line really padded those numbers, too. I mean, yes, the movie toys were flying off the shelves because the movie was hot. The toys were hot. And a lot of the reason that the Universe toys existed is because big box retailers like Walmart and everything were demanding more product. We need more product. They were demanding so much that literally Hasbro said, okay, we've ran out of toys to release.
I think that's where you came into the redecos of the Cybertron Voyagers, like Blaster and Blades and Heavy Load, Dropshot, all those guys. I think you saw a lot of them very quickly come out in the Voyager class. I think there's only one new Voyager mold for Universe, and that's Inferno. Am I correct,
Lucas? Voyager? Yes, that I'm seeing.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Inferno. And Wave 4.
So Voyager was all repaints except Inferno. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then in the Ultra class, you had Onslaught and Power Slide, yeah. Or Power Slide, Power Glide, Silver Bolt, Storm Cloud.
All repaints after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardhead from Walmart, though. I got him on Halloween that year. That figure is amazing.
Which I don't know if anybody still had it, but for the longest time was my new Hardhead, my G1 Hardhead, because I got the Head Robots upgrade kit for that. And it was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, turn him into a headmaster.
I've heard that.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And then I think Stormcloud was the one, was it not?
Stormcloud's the Black Power Glide repaint. He's a Micromaster character. I love Micromasters.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Okay, when was the redeco of Silverbolt released? The
Sky
black one.
Skyfall?
Skyfall. Yeah, that was the one.
That was the Halloween time period with Hardhead, Skyfall, and the Red Power Glide.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, the Hardhead was a redeco of the Onslaught.
I bought Halloween candy that same day. That's why I remember it.
But I got the render form upgrade kit for Skyfall to turn him into G2 Skyfall. That was awesome too. I don't know if y'all remember that. Do you remember that at all?
Mine has it. Yes, I remember it.
You has it.
I do have it. I got it only sort of recently, but I do have it now.
Yeah,
that one and the kit for Darkwing.
Oh yeah, I missed surprise. Out on that.
Yeah, Darkwing and Countdown, the surprise Toys R Us exclusives that they didn't tell anybody about.
Yeah,
Countdown is great.
I actually skipped on Countdown, and that was a Cybertron Defense Red Alert.
That's Redeco, correct.
Which the Botcon Megatron Beast Wars Megatron the. What was it? What was that set called? Dawn of Futures Past. Yeah, Dawn of Futures Past Megatron was based on that mold.
Yep.
And that thing goes for stupid money still.
I sold one a couple years ago and made a down payment on my car.
If you don't mind me asking, how much did you get for it?
I sold him for $10.50, I think.
Yeah, I've actually seen him as high as $15.
That's so intense.
Yeah, I sold the whole group, so the whole 06 deal. I think I ended up getting about $2,500 for all of them. So yeah, I made a down payment on a car.
Yeah, I don't know now. The one I saw for $1,500 was at a convention. I don't know if the person selling it actually got that much out of it, but I think
$1,200 is the max on him.
Yeah, that thing it does. It goes for stupid money, and I've held one in my hands. I didn't have one. But I've held one in my hands. That was the year. Actually, I owned it, but I had the way I went to the convention that year is I actually pre-sold my box set that I got from BotCon that year. I pre-sold it, so I went to BotCon. I got the set. I got to open it up and look at it, but I'd already sold it to somebody. So as soon as I got home, I had to ship it off, and. That was actually how I paid for my room at BotCon that year.
Cool. When I sold that set, I had to make peace with myself that I would never own it again because I would never pay that much for a single toy. And I had to realize that the memories that I had of that convention, how fun it was, were not the same as the toys. So I had to learn to separate them.
Well,
and in the end, I'd much rather have a car.
Well, also in the end, if you sold the entire set, you're probably glad you don't have the Dinobot from that set, which suffers hard from GPS.
Yeah, I've seen that in the past couple of years.
Yeah, the
mine was okay when I sold it, so I didn't give somebody a broken toy.
The spring and the shovel arm is known to basically make the arm explode. Yeah, so if you have one that's intact. Handle it with very kid
lots of care.
Yes. Matter of fact, don't handle it at all. That's my recommendation.
Just leave it. Yeah. Yeah, just leave it in the box.
Yeah.
He's not that good anyway.
So You know, I guess we've kind of run it into the ground, but you know, there's a lot of good stuff there. There was even some international releases in Universe 2.0. You know, the Superion Bruticus Maximus gift set.
Those are Revenge of the Fallen ones here.
Mm-hmm. Universe Toys moved to the movie line. Big Daddy, Jolt, Grindcore, Dive Bomb. They were all intended for the Universe line, but were actually moved into the movie line because, like you said, Walmart was, you know, we need more toys. We need more toys. And Hasbro was like, all right, we'll just take some of these existing toys, slap them in Universe or movie packaging, and sell them however you want them. But I think it's interesting, though, that the Aveo Swerve is the only officially licensed Universe toy.
No.
No?
The Walmart issue of Sideburn is officially licensed because they got in trouble for it.
Yeah, well, let me addendum that. Aveo Swerve is the only one that was intended to be an officially licensed toy from the beginning.
Fine.
Wouldn't that be because of how much licensing they got for Alternators, though?
It's possible.
Like, they did all that legwork to do that?
For the movie.
Yeah, Alternators did. They Alternators actually opened the door for a lot of stuff, and I would actually attribute Alternators to the inspiration for Hasbro and Takara to say, okay, well, especially Takara, okay, let's move forward with this re-envisioned masterpiece line.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, we would have probably never got MP10 had it not been for the success of Alternators.
I agree.
We should do an Alternators episode.
Actually, we have, but we can revisit it.
That was a cool line.
I was going to say, it's kind of sad the Alternators aren't really worth much anymore, that nobody collects them. But they could be had for very much money at all.
Yeah, about how much they cost when they came out, really?
Yeah, $20. I gave $20 for my Mirage, and I'm thinking about selling it since it's the only one I have. And you know, I'm just going to see if I can get $20 out of it because it's an awesome. They're awesome toys. But it just, they really have no place unless you want to put them next. The best thing that I did with my Alternators back in the day, I had MP01. And they seemed to scale relatively well with him.
They did.
And so they were basically my G1 Autobots in a masterpiece scale. And I think the only ones that really fit that was probably like the Subarus, like Blue Streak and Smokescreen. And then you had Hound and Trax, I guess. and then there were some that were like huge departures, like Camshaft and
Grimlock.
And Grimlock, yes. Yeah. Wheeljack.
Oh, the Shockwave. Shockwave was badass.
Mm-hmm. And while not a Porsche, the Meister, aka Jazz, was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a really awesome version of that toy or that character. Well, you guys,
the Hot Rod was really good too.
Oh, a Mirage mold, yeah.
Yep.
That was what, SDCC?
Yep. I think Hot Rod was the last one, right?
I believe so.
I think so.
Nemesis Prime was before him.
Prime was before him. The only ones I'm not sure about are Rumble and Ravage, if those came out.
Those were Walmart. Those were Walmart releases, so.
Yeah.
Which that Jaguar Ravage was actually, I couldn't believe they pulled that off with that. I mean, that sleek car turning into the cat just fit. It just fit. I could see the people at Jaguar just creaming their pants over how well their cat car turned into a cat. You know,
that's
if it
true.
Were. If they had geeks there, so which I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do.
So you guys have any closing thoughts on Universe 1.0 and 2.0 overall?
Maybe I do.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, do you think that Universe 2.0 and maybe Classics as well was part of what caused that shift to where, like, the standard figure was the Deluxe? Because I feel like for the last, you know, lots of lines, everything has happened in Deluxe scale, right? Like, I've bought lots of Titans Return. They're all Deluxe. I bought lots of Combiner Wars, except for those bodies. They're all Deluxe. I bought a good deal of Power of the Primes now. Pretty much all Deluxe. I bought, like, 2 liters, and that's it. And they've both been exclusives. So given that, it kind of feels like Universe 2.0, looking at the releases, just how many, you know, which ones were the unique molds? Well, it was all the Deluxes, whereas a lot of the repaints were the bigger figures. So it kind of feels like they saw that shift in, like, Deluxes are easy to sell. Deluxes are pseudo impulse buys.
Well, Deluxe is also, even if you do a redeco or a remold of those, they would probably sell more because they're at a cheaper price point.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there. I mean, if you look backwards to Cybertron, you know, there was a lot of unique molds, even in the basic class,
right,
which then Classics got rid of, and then Universe 2 continued that trend. They didn't have basics in Universe. Unless I'm wrong. Maybe. But we don't see that same level of basic.
No, they did. There were basics in Universe 2.0.
Were there?
Yeah, there was, well, the Legends, if you could call them basics.
I'm looking for Scouts or basics.
Yeah.
But, you know, from Beast Wars through Cybertron, you had the small figures, the $5 figures.
Right.
And then you had the Deluxes, and there were a lot of innovation at both of those scales.
Right.
But then you're right. Once Classics rolled around, Scouts were kind of done for. They came back a little bit in Revenge of the Fallen, but I think we haven't seen them since.
I think some of the best Scouts in Dark of the Moon were in Dark of the Moon, though. There were some really good Scouts in that, too. You had...
the Human Alliance guys?
No, like the Power Glide was, I believe, Dark of the Moon. Was that Dark of the Moon?
Cyberverse. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it was essentially Scout size is what it was. It was just called Cyberverse in that
you're
line.
Right.
Lucas, you have a closing thought.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, with the Universe, I know a lot of it's meant to be filler line, but, you know, I think kind of going back on it, it's really neat that we were able to get some of those molds, especially 1.0. And you had mentioned that, you know, there's a couple figures that we wouldn't have gotten those figures, that mold in the U.S. if it hadn't have been for Universe kind of pulling it out. So I think from that standpoint, it was, you know, really neat. You know, with that, and you know, I'd be really curious too that if you know, all the repaints that they do nowadays too, I wonder how successful it would be if they actually did just a repaint line, and, you know, or packaged all these exclusives into a specific line rather than it just being a one-off here and one-off there.
I'm surprised that we're getting stuff like Cyberverse, you know, so why, you know, which basically would take up the shelf space that a Universe 3.0 essentially would take. But at the same time, I can see why they're doing Cyberverse, because they're aiming that at the younger target demographic. Yeah. Because essentially, and I know I've been saying that a lot in this episode, but do you ever realize something after the fact?
Yes.
But the Cyberverse, what it does is it brings younger kids into the brand. And Transformers will not survive unless you have kids that grow up into fans of the toys. And if they have toys that are too difficult for them at too young of an age, then they're going to be turned off by the line. That's one of the things that made Generation 1 so hot back in the day, is that they were cool characters, you had a cool cartoon, you had cool comic books, and you had really cool toys, but the toys weren't so complex that you just got frustrated and put them down. Your parents That's might true. Have, but kids absolutely loved them. And that's what caught the fire. it wasn't until, you know, Beast Wars when you started having all these panels. I guess late generation two, I guess. You started having all these panels and a lot more articulation, which adds to the complexity of the toys. And I can see lines like RID 2.0 and Cyberverse. I can see how you can progress from like Robot Heroes to that. And then as you get, you know, 10, 11 years old, okay, let's progress up to the Generations, you know, line and the more complex toys. And then as you get older, you know, you want to go back and get more expensive toys because you have disposable income like us, you know. So I do see that purpose.
Yeah, you know, Hasbro has really had a problem with that, though, that they have the rescue bots, and I don't even know that they knew that it was going to be as big a hit and running as long as what it has, but that has really captured the younger kids' demographic. And, you know, they kind of have the older kids between the movie lines and the various Generations lines, but they really haven't captured in the last several years that, you know, age 8 to 10 or whatever demographic. And so I'm really hoping that, you know, Cyberverse is it, or whatever they come up with, you know, next is it, because I have kids that are in that age range, and I really want them to like Transformers instead of, you know, in addition to Pokemon, and Lego and things like that. But I'm hoping this is the one, Cyberverse. So
yeah, I mean, I Cyberverse doesn't appeal to me at all, but I do see the purpose of it.
Talking about a potential Universe 3 line has made me realize another trend that we've had lately. I mean, Universe 1 was packed full of toy-only characters, and that's not something we see a lot anymore. I mean, every character that comes out is, you know, a new version of a G1 character as far as the Generations lines goes, and the movies are supported by the movies. I mean, what's the last toy original character that came out? I can't.
Well, in the RID line, weren't there quite a few in the RID line? RID 2.0?
Definitely. I'm trying to think of if Age of Extinction. No, the Dinobots, I guess, in Age of Extinction were toy only characters.
Yes.
Slash.
Yeah, Slash and.
Or Slog.
But that's Slog, I think. What didn't he? He was on screen, but not very long.
Slug. I meant like Sludge, the Brachiosaurus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought we saw
was
him.
Was he like, on screen? Maybe
he might have been.
I don't know, but
those movies were such a blur.
Up to third movie, they were doing toy original characters, but I don't think it was so much in 4, and definitely not 5. I don't remember there being very many toy original characters at all. Unless you count like Berserker, since he wasn't really in the movie, but you know,
kind of.
I miss toy original characters. You could kind of make your own story around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I believe that'll do it for this week's episode of TFYLP. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. I know. I wish I had prepared a little bit better. I thought I had everything lined up, but but I think we muddled through it.
That's why you have a caster on it. It's okay.
Yes. I'm sorry I didn't have it prepared as well. I mean, I had it all up here. I'd read through it, but I just didn't. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, maybe learned a little bit of stuff. We'd love to hear your comments and questions. Like I said at the top of the show, at TFYLP on Twitter, or you can go to Facebook at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Love to hear from you. And as always, check out our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with free domestic shipping on orders of $150 or more. And you have what, Christian?
Stasis Pod Holding.
Yes, and what is that?
Stasis Pod Holding is your new order stacking feature, where you can stack orders up to the free shipping amount of $150 and then send them out when you're ready.
Absolutely, and that's a big help to a lot of people too, and you save a lot on shipping that way. Also check out Ripped Apparel, rippedapparel.com, and on your checkout, unless they have a better promo going, use the promo code TFYLPPOD, all capital letters, and you will save 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel. I did the Patreon, did I? Yeah, I did at the yes. top of the page.
Yeah, at the beginning. Yeah.
So, check out all of that stuff and hope to see you next week on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.